right, you're trying to get out of here. We're moving you to the back of the line now.
It's not 7 o'clock.
All right.
O'clock is slow.
Alex, let me know when you're ready.
Yep, firing it up here.
For all the people on Facebook. Good to go. You guys switch over to YouTube? So.
Okay.
Yeah, one of
those like to
days.
Call the January 27th regular scheduled trustees meeting to order. Request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Okay, looking for a motion to approve the minutes from the January 13th meeting.
I'll make the motion to approve the January 13th minutes. And
I can second that. Roll call, Bo Miller, yes. Dave Bench?
I suppose I'll abstain.
Okay.
I wasn't here.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Motion carries. Okay, fiscal officer's report.
We all have the reports in front of us.
Yep.
Okay. Star Ohio, $707,016.54. Krogan checking, $862,889.64. Deposits made since last meeting, $4,215.58. Warrant numbers to approve, 24427 through 24486. And electronic payment 8-2026, and that totals $59,553.07.
If nobody has any questions or comments, I can move to approve as read.
I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller. Yes. Motion carries.
You want to approve the rec? It's not in your agenda.
I wrote it, hand wrote it on mine, but yes.
Okay, then wait. It's in your hand wrote it on your agenda. That's fine.
Okay, I put it at the end. I mean, but
yeah,
okay, I've got it in there.
And then I see you saw the property tax. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Questions yep. about it? I just see it because it's. I don't recognize the address. Right. It's not on the agenda either. Right.
The clubhouse.
Yeah, that's that big. It's a big batch of parcels on Clubhouse that we still own.
Okay. I was just curious. It's just something like to get rid of.
Yep.
If you can.
Yeah, like, we'll take it for a dollar.
Yeah.
Instead of paying.
One penny?
I'll actually give the dollar if you would like to do the paperwork. But I just see that every time I pay the first and second half assessments, I see that, and I'm like, that's a lot. It's not, you know, people pay more, but I shouldn't pay anything.
Joel, I know you got to get out of here.
Yep.
Is anybody got anything for Joel while he's still sitting here right now that you can think of off the top of your head?
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just to follow up real quick, one thing I do want to follow up with, the checks, the fire department payroll and some other checks, we've put a stop on them.
Yeah, so... Nobody's gotten anything, including some vendors,
no.
Which is good. That means that they never went anywhere out of town or locally. So
maybe you didn't write them.
They were
well, I signed a whole lot of paperwork,
yeah.
So I don't know what they were.
I have no idea where they are.
Okay.
That makes no sense to me because the W-2s came a couple of days later. They got put in the mail, and those came just fine. So
yep.
Something happened, and, of course, I called the postmaster and asked about it. And he said that people were calling him for around the same time period that they had sent stuff, and then they were inquiring about it as well. So obviously there was a problem.
Okay.
So hopefully nobody gets them and cashes them, and then we have to. The whole point is if you know the employee cashes a stale voided check or a stale check or voided check, they're going to have to pay that back.
And we put that out on I Am Responding?
Yep.
And then, yeah, there was everyone that I have hand distributed the checks. And in addition to the note that was provided in the with the check, I reinforced it.
Okay,
and
perfect.
I had asked for them, if you happen to get it, please give it to me, because I'd like to give it back to them just to, for the evidence.
Yeah.
Just a shame we've never had a trouble. I mean, maybe every once in a while a veteran didn't get a check, but I mail checks all the time, and it's like, so payroll for the fire department, including hourly and stuff, I'm going to put it in Tony's mailbox and make it his problem to distribute, which is fine.
Sounds good, because they cost a lot of money to mail all of them.
Yeah. But, just in the news this week, I had caught it that if you have time-sensitive mail, you should take it directly to the post office and have them stamp it. Because, so they're admitting that they're having some issues or concerns.
And they have the daily pickups like are listed on all the mailboxes, and they give you the times. They're not guaranteeing that they'll even pick it up that day. So they specify like your taxes, anything like that.
Yeah.
Take it inside and have it stamped.
Yeah. Thank you. It's really crazy, because I put all those in the inside box. They just, the car fell off the back of the truck or something. I don't know.
Right.
I hand delivered that one.
Okay. I mailed it too.
No, you didn't mail
that?
It.
That?
Yeah.
The Saks Road Cleaning invoice?
Yeah. I give you the check.
Oh, you're talking about the vendor. You showed me the invoice I mailed to the township, the county engineer.
Oh, but I just mean I did hand deliver that.
Yeah. Hopefully they catch it. That's their. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
Yep. Toodaloo.
Okay, so we're going to jump around a little bit here, and we are going to do the presentation now, so Deanna can get out of here and enjoy her cold evening. We're all sitting here, and Adam got a long ways to go, so.
And just a quick FYI, we live stream this too on Facebook, which is where most of our participants are tonight. I've received several text messages from residents that normally show up that are like, hey, been watching from the live stream, so.
Great.
That's why we're pretty empty today.
Okay. Well, my name is Deanna Boback. I'm with Civil and Environmental Consultants. I'm the Toledo Office Water Resources Practice Lead. And I've had the pleasure of working with Jerusalem Township for a few years now on a couple different projects that have been grant funded. And so you may have seen me here previously talking about this project, but this is kind of a continuation of a grant that has been will be over at the end of next month. So, thank you. So just to give you a little bit of background, in 2022, Jerusalem Township partnered with the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District for an Ohio Lake Erie Commission Coastal Resilience Grant application. And that partnership really kind of helped facilitate this grant, and it was successfully awarded. And so part of that particular phase of the project is to establish a framework for risk assessment of the levee system around Jerusalem Township and the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District. And so that planning grant was really focused on two levee segments. The project segment, which runs along the shore of Lake Erie, that was constructed by the U.S. Army Corps, and then what we refer to as the non-project segment that comes down along Ward's Canal, along Route 2, and then it goes back up just west of Donovan Road, up around Howard Marsh Phase 2 project area, and then up through Anchor Point Marina. Sorry, can you
That's okay. Just smack me when I go on.
No, that's okay. So for the first phase of this grant, what we did is we conducted a walking assessment of the levee system, and we were essentially looking for what we refer to as deficiencies. So areas within the levee system that might be in need of maintenance because there are things like animals that burrow into the levee, there are tree roots that cause instability in that levee. We also looked for sloughing, you know, any types of instability along that levee system. Or we also looked at infrastructure, so if there was sheet piling within there, if there were things that looked like they were failing or in need of repair or maintenance. And so we marked all of these items. And then we also conducted, which you see here in the large picture on the screen, we also conducted an H&H analysis, which stands for hydrologic and hydraulic analysis, which essentially helped us identify areas along the levee system that are low and have a risk of overtopping during certain precipitation events, during sesh events. When the water reaches a certain elevation, it can come over the levee system. Next slide, please. Thank you. And so out of this risk assessment and that first phase, that first grant, there were four priority segments that were identified, in large part because they had sections of those segments that that were susceptible to overtopping, but also some of those segments are just very overgrown, or they have a lot of deficiencies that were identified as part of that walking assessment. And so the three segments that we have listed up there in purple, 3A, 4, and 6A, are part of this project that I'm going to talk about tonight. And then that 7B is actually the focus. It's not a focus of this project, but potentially other funding sources. And so out of that risk assessment, besides just identifying and prioritizing which levee segments needed a little bit of assistance first, we also put together some very high level conceptual plans that helped us kind of figure out what direction would we take to rehabilitate the levee segments that are in need of repair, and then put some very, very high level costs to those. And so if you are familiar with the engineering world, when we are just looking at something kind of from a very high level, there's a lot of uncertainty in our costs. So costs could go very, very high, like double what we think they might be, or they could be, you know, 50% lower. There's just a lot of uncertainty. So the more you can do to help minimize that uncertainty, such as conduct site assessments, get some more accurate numbers of what you might need to move in terms of dirt hauling and items like that, you can help. It helps you get a better idea of how much something might cost. And so that, next slide please, is really kind of what led to this next phase, the second Lake Erie Commission grant. And we're calling this phase one. And really the phase one goals were to take those concepts, those very high level, and try to really hone them in a little bit more. Now it's not a full design that we went to, but it is what we would refer to as a 30% design, which helps again figure out some of those costs or get a better idea of what those costs were. As part of phase one, those pictures in the middle, we did conduct some of those site assessments. So we did go through and we conducted a topographic survey to really get a better idea of some of the elevations of the levees. We also conducted some preliminary geotechnical analyses. So we were out there with the drill rig, trying to, you know, get an idea of what the subsurface is like. And then the final deliverables out of this particular project was a technical spec document that helps the township and the conservancy district get an idea of maintenance measures and what that might cost. And then it also helps produce a plan set that then at a later point in time can be taken forward to help kind of offspring, you know, that can help the next phase kind of start with that plan set. Next slide, please. So again, we conducted field assessments, approximately 8,400 linear feet. We conducted a topographic survey. So you'll see some fancy pictures down there of my guys with the stick. It's a rod with GPS on it. The surveyors love it when I call it a stick. But getting an idea of what the elevation is throughout the levee in a more detailed level than we had in the very first grant. We also conducted geotechnical borings along 9 locations. So we chose 3 locations per levee segment where we could get in and take some of those borings. And so you'll see some pictures down there also of the drill rig up on top of the levee. And then we developed that technical manual for maintenance needs, such as things like tree removal, vegetation removal, animal, you know, filling of animal burrows, And we also identified and described some interim risk reduction measures, or IRRM. And essentially what these are is they're measures that you can take to help the levee maintain its stability that go beyond regular maintenance, but aren't necessarily like the permanent fix that you would want. And so things like in some of those low spots, what we might do to help raise those up at a relatively cheaper cost than rebuilding that whole levee for a temporary means. And then we also developed that 30% levee rehabilitation plan. Next slide, please. So just to give you an idea, again, some of those maintenance items, tree and vegetation removal. So if you're familiar with parts of the levee, highly vegetated, a lot of undergrowth and brush. And while that's nice in some respects in terms of levee stability, it's not great because those roots start to undermine, start to create crevices, and really kind of, they're not good for the stability of the levee. We've also, you know, we know that there's animal burrows out there. And so as you would go through and you would remove some of that vegetation and expose the levee, you could see kind of more clearly where some of those animal burrows are and fill those just so that you don't have gaping holes in the levee along the way. And so what we are projecting for some of these maintenance items for an initial clearing of the vegetation that's there and filling of the animal burrows that are there, we're looking at initially $84,000. Approximately. Now there is a level again of uncertainty in that cost, but that $84,000 is kind of the mid-range of what we would be looking at. And that's again to cover almost 8,400 linear feet. And so once you go through with these maintenance items, and if we were to clear the levee, fill the burrows, there would need to be continued maintenance to keep for upkeep. And so we would recommend mowing the levee segments twice per year, and then spot treating as needed. So as those chubby little critters come in and start to make new homes, you know, eradicating them right away and filling any holes that they would have made. Those interim risk reduction measures, you know, what we have up here is essentially where the levee itself is just a little bit low. You would spot fill that with what we call trap bags, which are kind of like sandbags, but they're geotextile that's then filled. They stand up a little bit better to the weather and whatnot than sandbags. But essentially the idea is you are raising the levee elevation up, but it's a very temporary means of doing that. Another interim risk reduction measure that we looked for in those three levee segments is at the toe of the slope. On the canal side, we looked for excessive erosion, and in areas where that occurs, you would maybe want to take things a step further and put some sheet piling in there to better help protect that toe of slope for stability reasons. In the three levee segments that were the focus of this particular part of the project, we did not identify any sections there. But if erosion continues moving into the future, it may get to a point where you would want to initiate some of that in those sections. And then kind of the main deliverable was this 30% design. And so what this particular part, this design set included, is if at one time you go out, you clear the vegetation, you fill the animal holes, you rebuild the levee where it's low, you bring in, you know, dirt and restabilize it. You would level the levee to what we refer to as the 1% annual chance exceedance elevation for protection. So again, that's just bringing that levee up to a certain elevation so that you don't have overtopping at, you know, a certain precipitation level or a certain lake level. And then widening, flattening that levee for maintenance access. So if you've been in certain parts of this levee, some of it is very, very narrow at the top. And so when you go in and you rebuild that, you would want to rebuild that so that it has the capacity for maintenance vehicles to be on top of it, again, to keep up with that mowing and to keep up with spot treatment as needed. There is some easement acquisition that would need to occur with, you know, full rehabilitation of the levee. We are estimating about 15 acres of permanent easement and 11 acres of temporary easement. And right now we're projecting a cost for that for approximately $2.9 million. So it's everything but acquisition costs. That would be for full rehabilitation of those 8,400 linear feet, and then plus easement acquisition, which we're still working on pricing some of that out.
Do you have a ballpark for like I mean, do you have any number you throw at that? I mean, we talking another $1 million? We talking?
I think we've talked conservatively about 10% of that construction cost, but we are still working that out.
Yeah, there. I mean, there's some rules of thumb that we use again from an engineering standpoint. I've suggested that they use somewhere between 10% and 12%. I think it's kind of a good average number. I also think it's important for the community to make sure that everybody understands that this is for the overall benefit of the community, and we will be soliciting donations. We would prefer that people would actually be willing to donate, or at least take it as maybe a reduced value over what you would typically get for agricultural land or even residential properties.
So. Adam, where's this property going to be bought?
What's that?
Where's the property at?
So where the existing levees are right now.
I realize that, but where?
So
can you go back to this one?
So basically, yeah, if you go back to, I think it's slide 3, this shows the 4, either one. So right now,
this one here.
For the purpose of this project, it would be in these specific segments, 3A, 4, and 6A. So starting at Corduroy Road, so I believe that's the Wolf Farm.
Yeah.
Goes down to Howard Marsh. Then there's a series of residential properties that are along the west side of Donovan.
On 4.
That's in segment 4. Actually, as you get further east, past Howard Road, that's Metro Park property.
Yeah.
So that's that segment 6A. So we're working with the Metro Parks through there.
Well, we've kind of got that fixed already. We got a dike here to stop this when this does break.
There is, but there's actually a small gap in there where, yes, they did do a cutoff levee that comes up, but there is actually a small gap that if that does breach, it'd be to the east of where Mr. Grottle had fixed his place, his property, right just to the east of Howard Road. There's an opportunity that the water could actually follow up Howard Road.
Well, that's why we put that up there. I thought we did it.
There is a cutoff levee there.
Yeah.
It's not sufficient to separate the areas out.
I think we could get we got the Metro Parks to do that, so I think we could fix that for the Metro Parks.
Hopefully we can get them to donate the area, and then we can decide, we can fall back and decide how to do it. Again, this was stuff that when, going back to the first phase, we looked at a prioritization of segments. These three segments were the ones that frankly scored the worst. And so these were the target points that we were trying to hit. If there's an alternative method, and that's part of the reason we also wanted them to only take it to a 30% design. The part of the concept is that with a 30% design, if we're able to acquire them, one, it gives us tight enough numbers that we can hopefully pursue funding. And two, it's something that we could then give to maybe a contractor, solicit bids, go through the qualifications process, all the stuff we have to do, but work with a contractor from a design build standpoint. Versus spending the money on engineering, we would actually work with a contractor to do some things that they could actually implement in the field. Because there's going to be different means and methods that are going to be appropriate depending on where you're working. I want to be a little cautious. We can be a little more just looking at it as a blank canvas. Okay, the Wolf Farm property, you can tend to be a little more liberal in spacing, just because you have agricultural land that you can work with. You get south of the Howard Marsh Phase 2. Now you're up against residential properties. You're really infringing on those residential properties. So you want to have a smaller footprint. There's different ways to approach that. Could potentially include sheet piling on the inside, believe it or not, just so it's a vertical face instead of a long 3-to-1 slope. Depends on what we want to work with. Again, this area along 6A, along the north side of Route 2 out there, right now it doesn't appear that what the Metro Parks put in is going to create the exact barrier that we had hoped. But if there's a way that we can modify it, if there, you know, we'll try to work through that process.
We have a person who lives in the township that's on the Metro Parks board. And that's how we really worked him to get that dike up there that time.
Yeah.
So
That helps a lot.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It helps. Don't get me wrong. And similarly, they did a cutoff up there where they tied in the Howard Marsh Phase 2 into the piece along the Cooley Canal as well.
Yeah.
So they've been a great partner in this process. The challenge with it is, with what they have out there, is that they don't go across Howard Road. So if something fails in the southeast or southwest corner, it can follow right up through the Howard Road right away.
She's going to right just like that.
Conversely, if something fails to the north, we can come back south as well.
Is this along Route 2? Is that in the project too?
So right now, the phase five, that segment five, is not included as part of this study. Just based upon,
because that's bad too. I've walked them all.
I pointed that out to them as we've gone through and reviewed this. One thing I will say that's a benefit is that actually, believe it or not, that property all along there on the north side of that canal is either township right-of-way or conservancy district property.
The old conservancy.
The current conservancy district owns a strip of land along, and I forget the name of that road that's there that's east of Donovan, but whatever, they own a big strip along there. So
Standard.
Thank you.
Yeah, they picked that up back when it would have been when Stanton and Powers was in there. They got those in part of the land bank thing. They took them. That's how the conservancy ended up with them way back when.
Yep. So yeah, and I also want to say, rest assured, that the purpose of this effort was to focus on these three areas, but there are other segments that also need to be addressed. But this is starting it. And what, at least from my opinion, as part of the reason we approached it the way we did, was to start the momentum, to start the ball rolling. If we can get one segment done that shows that we can be successful, that opens up additional opportunity. Funding programs like to see success, okay? So you begin to build on these things, and it also helps showing that we would be a reliable partner for any of these funding sources that come through. And then the last piece is just saying, how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And we can't take this all on in one bite.
Oh no.
You've got to do it in little pieces, and we felt this is a reasonable approach.
I think the sandbag idea is kind of stupid myself, but you know, we got all that dirt there, you know, we could put dirt there, and that's going to last just as long as those sandbags are, because I know even they'd have to be awful darn good sandbags to last from the sun. Yeah.
Well, I'll defer to CEC on that. I have asked the question myself, but it's a fair question.
Yes, and so they're not sandbags in the traditional sense of sandbags, because yes, those do not hold up. The trap bags themselves were chosen as an interim risk reduction measure because there is, to a certain degree, a level of engineering that needs to be had. It's not quite as simple as just putting some dirt out there and expecting it to stay, because then you've also got to look at the slopes and other factors that engineers know that I don't, because I'm not an engineer, but it's a little bit more complicated than just I'm going to go put some dirt here and expect it to stay there and really reduce the risk.
I would, I would really like to see these bags.
If you want to go back, there's a detail that shows the bags. Again, it's one more forward.
Forward?
Yeah, one more forward. That. And so you'll see the detail there. Again, it's just a schematic of it. I don't have any pictures of the bags themselves, and that's certainly something that we can put into the document just so that it's out there for people to kind of look at. But it is a geotextile, so it does have some...
It's not really a bag.
Correct. It's not a sandbag.
You shouldn't call it a bag, yeah.
I didn't come up with the name, so...
It's just a technical name for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that really kind of takes us to our next steps, is really, you know, taking this information, and this will help, as Adam said, you know, help us look at potential funding sources, whether they be grants, loans, appropriations, assessments, combination of all of those, more than likely. It helps, again, with costing, trying to get an idea of how much money is needed to go ahead and move this forward, how much matching funds would need to be solicited and raised in order to achieve some of these grants. And then looking at the ability to phasing this project potentially, so maybe, you know, that the $2.9 million number is a very large number. And so maybe it's starting with, let's look at taking this segment by segment and initiating some of those maintenance activities, and then keeping that up while we do the next segment on forward. And so that's certainly something that helps start the discussion for the township and for the Conservancy District as well. Next slide. And that's all I have. So I'd be happy to entertain questions and try to answer those to the best of my ability.
You said it's a $2.9 million project so far that you can, and it could go up, could go down. Who heads this project if it does go forward?
That would be the township or the district or a combination of both, I would assume. It's not necessarily going to happen as a $2.9 million project. It may happen in smaller segments, and that's going to be contingent on us getting funding. It's going to be the biggest challenge.
Who goes after the funding? Who looks to get that funding?
Combination of the township and the district.
Same we did with to get the grant to have this done. We partnered with the Conservancy, and we were able to get with the township, we were able to get the grant for the CEC to do their research for us.
And Joe Purvey. At this point, there has been no township or Conservancy District dollars spent towards this project. That everything that you have seen tonight was solely grant funded.
And we are partnering with Elgin Rogers as well. He's helping us out to look for funding. In fact, he connected me with somebody today, and I had a very productive meeting at with, let's see, you guys are probably Sally Gladwell from Mannequin Smith. You guys familiar?
Yeah.
I talked with her this morning, and she tipped me off to apparently $10 million of funding that may be available through H2 Ohio. So I just have a few things I have to send over to her, and she's going to forward that stuff off to H2 Ohio. I mean, that's a relatively small pool to fight for, but it's worth a shot. Apparently, if we go the avenue of nutrient reduction, because if the levees fail, there's farm fields behind the levees, and that would, you know, put nutrients into the lakes. So I guess that's an avenue to shoot for. I never thought of it that way, but I suppose that's accurate.
Is Adam, and would there be potentially, you think there is funding there that we could get to do in the short term, maybe easier to get for maintenance out there? Like, I guess instead of, like, I'm looking at, instead of saying, okay, we want to do this entire segment, section 6A or whatever, complete, do you think there's a chance for funding out there that we could say, you could get enough money to maintenance this, get the vegetation off, you know, the $84,000 to do the, I mean, is there, you think there's funding out there for that type of stuff?
My direct answer to that is no.
Okay.
I think that, so first of all, most of these programs that we go after, we want to see at least a 25 to 30 year useful life for whatever we end up with, okay, at a minimum. And some of the other programs, and this is where one of the challenges we have as well, is that if, for example, if you work with the Army Corps of Engineers or you work with FEMA, they have design standards and principles that you have to meet. Okay, so that's going to be one of these issues that we're going to have to address as we go forward, because those standards, so if you look at what the Metro Parks built around Howard Marsh Phase 1 and Phase 2, they have a keyway trench that they cut in. They have very defined slopes, they have very defined compaction. I mean, it's everything that's in there is up to ODNR and FEMA standards, basically. I know it's ODNR, I don't know for sure FEMA, but absolutely ODNR standards. That's a very, very high bar, and you probably, in this case, I would hazard a guess, you'd almost add a zero to the numbers that Deanna's talking about. It's that much of a difference. I mean, what we're talking about doing is really trying to keep the existing levees the way they are and still getting something in there that's going to have a good 40 to 50 year design life to it that will stand up against a 1% storm, flood, sorry, not just a storm, but a flood, because it's all about the elevation of the water. But it would not necessarily stand up in terms of evaluation by ODNR of being a class one dam, or even to FEMA to take properties out of the floodplain. If you want to go to that step, it's a much, much higher bar to try to meet. And I know that's not the question. The question you asked was about maintenance.
Yeah.
And my feeling is, and this is something I've already conveyed to Alex and to Deanna, and I think there's a couple of board members that may be watching online tonight, but I was planning on coming out to the board meeting in March and talk to them and suggest looking forward to 27, if there's even funding left, if they still have money left in 26, to just set aside probably something on the order of about $45,000 to $50,000 to start the process, to start working with local landscapers, tree removal companies, whomever it may be, and get some people together to start going through the process of getting the brush clearing done, getting the rodent burrows filled, so that the levees are not Swiss cheese. Get those pieces at least done. Get some small portions stabilized, so you don't have the sloughing down into the channels. And really, and I don't mean that they did anything that wasn't what we asked them to do, because they did. They went out there and they put boots on the ground. But to really be able to get your eyeballs on it and see where the weak points are, and then maybe, whether it's working with the township or a local contractor, and get some dirt stacked up in there just to get the low points filled in. And I think that's probably about a $50,000 endeavor just to get from Corduroy down to Howard Marsh Phase 2. Then that starts the process. And you just continue that, but concurrently, then start, working with Alex and myself and the district, and start going through and start knocking all the doors we possibly can and seeing who we can work with. That's not gonna have these excessively high standards that just make these projects unreachable. And also get to a point where, we applied for the WERDA money, and that ended up being a one-to-one match. And
was that the one that was strictly for a feasibility study?
And that was for a feasibility study. Yeah, it was great.
Adam, I've been working on getting Cedar Creek cleaned. I'll never get it cleaned, but I'm going to try and get it petitioned to get it brushed, because there's so many dams up around our cemetery and up in there. And that would actually, Cedar Creek goes into the Cooley there. So if we could do that, maybe I can get that done with this petition. And someday it'll get cleaned. I'll never see it, but at least we can get it brushed maybe.
I think that would be helpful.
I'm working on that. I got to get Ottawa County into it, because they have more of the creek than we do, and so they have to take lead. And so I got to try and push them to do something.
One of the other things I'm a little hesitant to bring up, but I will, and that is that there are some, I think you guys are aware of some major capital projects that are going to be ongoing by the city of Toledo fairly soon. There's going to be an extremely large amount of spoil material that will come out of those projects. That could be an opportunity to try to save some cost. Again, to at least try to build up some of the areas that are that might be a little suspect in the levee system. Again, that's not the same as getting the FEMA level and the ODNR level, but it's good.
We better stockpile it then.
Might be an opportunity.
Well, what about the reservoir that Oregon is proposing for the city of Toledo? All of that?
That's one of the projects you were referring to.
Okay.
Does this report take us out of the FEMA standard that we have currently?
So I think the answer to your question would be no. If you're talking about being able to remove the requirement for flood insurance or being out of the floodplain, no, it is not. And again, that's what I was alluding to earlier, saying that if we did try to rebuild the entire levee system to meet the FEMA standard, I do believe you'd end up adding a zero to the estimate.
So we're in good standings with FEMA now, but this
actually no.
We are not in good standings.
No, right now the entire area is considered 1% annual chance flood because there are portions of the existing levee system that are below that 1% level for elevation. The levees that exist do not meet FEMA standard.
Will this bring that down even lower now, though?
This will not change the flood insurance requirement.
No, but I mean the FEMA standard. Will it drop the FEMA?
No.
We are in the conservancy is in compliance with the core dike though.
Army Corps.
That we're in good standing with. The section out front, like where you guys live, that is good. Finally,
an active status.
That's an active status. That allows us to get federal funding if a disaster does happen. Okay. With that. But
this is where we're gonna flood.
Yeah, we're gonna flood from the backside. It's gonna come around, come in the back, and that's what we're trying to. But the FEMA and the Army Corps want nothing to do with this. Like they don't.
Correct.
They're like hands off.
Army Corps did do a study, and the results were posted. I mean, similar results.
Yeah.
It stopped there. That was in 2018, I think.
Once we flood, we'll get all the money we want.
Yeah.
Then, but now
it'll be too late at that point.
You got it,
Jim.
Under the land acquisition you were talking about to be able to purchase the land from the private owners, would that fall under the auspices for the township to save money under eminent domain?
The township has limited opportunity
the conservancy, anybody, would it fall under eminent domain?
So the conservancy district has, conservancy has dominant right of eminent domain through the revised code. The answer to your question, though, Jim, is actually eminent domain ultimately ends up costing the communities more money. It just does. Because of the legal proceedings that are associated with it.
Okay.
The goal would be to acquire easements for the smallest cost possible.
Right.
If anything, for $0 would be my goal, right. But
if you're going to improve my property for free, it's not going to cost anything, you can have it. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other thing I would say is eminent domain is not.
Not at all.
We're not looking at taking hundreds of feet off the back of people's property. We're talking small chunks.
Yeah,
it's just a strip.
Yeah, a strip.
To make the dike bigger is all. Right, yeah. On the backside. So.
And the other question was, I know, ma'am, you will mention that in certain areas there, I forget which ones they were, about sheeting.
Yes.
And with the, I happen to know what it costs, and with the cost of that and inflation, it's virtually impossible. Yeah, it's right now with right now you'd be lucky to get it for $1,000 a foot. So
yeah, I mean
it's a great idea. It's the best.
That would not be for the entire.
I understand that.
It would
that,
just
but even
be
short.
For short term. If that's the worst, yes. But is it the most cost effective? No.
I don't think we could handle that one. Thank you.
Adam, on that wolf farm there, the township actually has plugged that up a couple times. So I think they would be willing to give us a strip along there if we would improve that dike. So all we have to do is talk to people.
Yeah, that's going to come down to us talking to people to acquire those easements. I mean, they'd be foolish to fight us on it.
Right.
Honestly, it's a pretty big improvement for their property and the whole community.
Right.
Not that we're at that stage yet, but down the pipeline?
So from our perspective, we'll be finalizing, putting kind of the finishing touches on the report this month. The grant is over at the end of February, and then I don't know if it will become available upon request.
Yep. So we'll publish it on our website. Got a final report to do for OLEC and submit that final invoice. Hopefully get you guys paid and all wrapped up. It'll be nice. I'm looking forward to that.
So thank you for the opportunity to work on this, and we hope that we can continue to support you as you move through the various phases of the of this.
My Reno Beach email is no longer active.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
If you want a copy of the presentation, I can fix it for that.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you guys very much for coming.
And Adam, thank you for taking some time to come.
Absolutely. Yeah, long drive.
Okay.
Oh.
That's supposed to be tonight.
I want to see this through.
Yeah, you've got a lot of time invested on this project. You want to keep the? We all want to keep the ball rolling, for sure.
Okay, well, you guys are good to free to go if you guys want, or you want to hang out. I know you don't want to hang out with us. We're not that good.
So, it's a long ways home.
For it. We appreciate it, guys. Right,
thank you very much.
Thanks for coming, Adam. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Be in touch.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you once again.
Yep. All right, so we'll keep plugging along, and I'm going to let the chief and Kevin know if I know they look like you guys both had some long days today. If as soon as you guys are done, if you guys want to get out of here, you're more than welcome to, too. Yep. Chief, I know you haven't eaten dinner. So we'll move along. I'm not going to go through the zoning report. We all have a copy of it.
Yep.
You got a copy, so we're good with that.
Yep. I talked to Jacob. I sort of encouraged him not to bother to come tonight because I assumed this project would take a little longer to discuss than it did. So he's going to be at our next meeting. I don't know if you want to go through this or not, or just wait until our next meeting.
No, yeah, we have it. I mean, we've got a copy.
We can stop and see him tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
One more thing on zoning, if I could mention.
Yeah.
Sure.
Next month's meeting for the Zoning Commission, because both Jacob is going to be out of, they're going to be in Columbus for the convention.
Okay.
So there's, and I've called all the members of the commission, and I've asked whoever's in charge up there to put it on the webpage and the sign.
Yep. It's so, pre-scheduled on the sign.
So the two or three people that show up, or one person, doesn't come here for not a meeting. So
yeah, okay.
That's all there is.
Thank
February
you.
Meeting is canceled.
All right. Fire Department Chief, you're up.
Good evening. During the snow event on Sunday, we did staff the station. It was nice to have the extra personnel that it would have been a challenge for them to drive to the station. So, and it worked out well. Early in the morning, they ended up going on mutual aid fire run with Alan Clay. But all in all, everything worked out really well for us. I'm pleased to report that firefighter Tim O'Connor has passed not only his Fire 1, that he did that at Pena County, but he also did his National Registry EMT. So he's fully qualified to use his skills now. I provided to you just as an informational, we have scheduled a ice exercise at Maloney Bay State Park on February 7th. I just wanted to share the info with you. All the agencies, departments are invited if they want to participate. We have like 35 different scenarios available though for them to participate. We did have a furnace needed to be repaired again. This time it was the induction motor, and thank you to Bill Whitey for dealing with it and dealing with the cold and getting that back up and running for us again. And then I wanted to thank Joel on behalf of the township, because Joel makes sure that we get the employment postings. Anytime we have a visit from BWC, they're always going to inspect to see that we have a current poster. So I appreciate that Joe takes care of getting that, Joel takes care of getting that, and it's posted in the station. I will have to schedule, harassment training as per the requirements, so I'll let you know when that's going to be, and if you guys want to visit that. Last year, Eric attended as well, so we opened that up to any employees of the township.
I was there too.
Yeah. So, other than that, we've been diving pool time at the YMCA. That's going well. And I'm sure our gas bill's going to be expensive this month.
I feel
for
it
us.
Too.
That's all I got. Any questions or anything? Oh, one last thing. Yasmin has been working on a grant with the Department of Commerce Fire Marshal's Grant. So trying to, Joel helped me get the last little bit of info that was needed for that. And we're going to try for it. It's a $50,000 grant. But right off the bat, unfortunately, they're saying that we're not qualified because Lucas County was not one of the counties that was listed. But I'm going to contact the Fire Marshal's office and ask them, are we totally out just because we're Lucas County? Because I think that's unfair. You know, we're one township within the county.
Yeah.
But and we have a large area coverage, and yet we have a small population. So, you know. But again, I appreciate her work on, the work for the grant.
Chief, just real quick, did you get that information Joel was requesting on the vendor for the auto vent?
Yes.
Okay, that's taken care of?
It's not done yet.
Okay.
We had bought some parts for it, and I said, don't worry, we haven't ordered this thing yet anyway.
Okay,
so.
All right. Just wanted to make sure. I saw the email earlier.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate not a problem.
That.
All right. Anything else for the chief, guys? Mm-hmm. Nothing? All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin, you're up. Well, you're sitting, but you're...
First thing, is the township pickup truck going to be used to go to Columbus?
I don't know yet.
Well,
I won't take it, but
right
I'm not using
being
it.
Being repaired, and I got to know how hard of a push to put on it, because Friday, started making some noise on the way back from picking up our backhoe, is the other thing. It's done. It's back. It's going to cost us probably about a quarter of what it was going to cost us at Southeastern, which was $15,000. So we brought it back from Southeastern, and actually even when I personally purchased the parts, they were less than we were quoted to have it fixed in-house. So we saved money on that. But anyhow, I got checking it. The idler pulley is out on it, and the air conditioner compressor is out of it. That's what actually started it. Parts are ordered for it. Hopefully, today is Tuesday. Hopefully Thursday, I can see it back, is what I'm hoping for at this point.
Unless Kevin, I probably won't take it because I'm not going anywhere.
No, you ain't going.
No.
And I can't see Jacob taking it.
For the amount of Mercedes.
Not like that Mercedes. So.
The way the ride is in that 3/4 ton pickup that gets 9.6 miles per gallon since the day it was purchased, it's up to you guys. But I just wanted to know because I'm going to talk to him again tomorrow and find out that the parts were available, not available right away, and try to have it back by Thursday.
Is that at American?
No.
Oh, okay.
That went to another vendor to be fixed.
Okay.
Last time I seen American, you couldn't fit a deck of cards in between the door.
I don't know how they got the back hole in.
I don't know. Anyhow, that's out being fixed right now.
I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm anticipating that's most probably going to be less than, depending on what the compressor is, but probably less than maybe $1,800 for everything. The big truck, the new big truck, we've got it back and used it. Pulled it out Saturday morning, started out with it, had it for about an hour, hour and a half. Got a whole bunch of trouble lights on it. Got it back here, shut it off, used the other truck, and had a fireman go look at it for me because I couldn't stop and look at it. And he checked it. Everything had pretty much cleared itself except the check engine light. So we took it back out, started using it again to check it, and everything was fine with it. Run up to American Enterprises, he scanned it, and it had 63 codes in it for low voltage, which everything on that truck is LED, so it wasn't drawing that much. I'm assuming it had a generator problem that may have locked up. It's working fine right now, we're using it, but I'm trying to get an appointment to get it out to Western Star Freightliner and have that service, because me and Dave believe it's got a 5-year or 7-year warranty on it.
Five.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're using every bit of that warranty, and I will never buy another truck like that again. I mean, that has been nothing but problems. Nothing but problems.
Not more the truck, it's been more the accessories from the vendor that it was outfitted by. This is the first actual physical truck part that, and even like American Enterprises said, it could be anything, even from just a loose connection, but he didn't clear anything out, so I can take it to the vendor and then they can backtrack everything.
Okay.
Truck's been running fine other than that one light still on. We're constantly checking fluids and everything in it. It's not making any noises. It's good. So hopefully if the weather holds out next week with the upcoming temperatures and locks down this white garbage we got out here, hopefully I'll get it out to the dealer and have that fixed. Through the storm, pretty much everything other than that problem with the truck, we've been running 2 to 3 trucks pretty much around the clock, with the exception, hopefully tonight, shows the wind laying down to about 4 to 5 mile an hour, but it should be starting about now if the weather guy's actually right. If it does that, it's going to lay down. We won't have really the blowing on the road, so we shouldn't have the drifting come morning. I had a long conversation today with the Oregon schools over the cancellation this morning, which they have now, through some education through the day and different things that have happened, I'm still supposed to meet with them and have another conversation, but they're under the understanding at this point that where the problems were that they were seeing were not township roads. Because I was point blank asked that if after their 2-hour delay this morning, if they'd have been able to move buses up and down township roads, my answer was yes. Yes, they are snow covered, but it's the packed down snow that the plow would not remove, and they understand about the salt issue because they're also having a salt issue. But they're gonna do some more research into that, but as far as us, they understand now, because a lot of them didn't understand when it was canceled, everybody automatically said, well, it was because of Jerusalem Township. Well, there's county, state, and federal roads that are in Jerusalem Township. They're not all Jerusalem Township. So I did tell them, I'm gonna forward them this list that was made up with the township roads, county roads, with attached phone numbers to it for them to contact if they would experience any problem on any of the roads, depending on what they are.
They call the county.
And, well, I don't care if they even call, depending on what it is, but, you know, they can call me too, if, and that's what I told them today. If you're unsure, call me. I can tell you that we need to contact the county, and as long as you've already called me, I'll contact the county at that point, because I can go beyond the numbers that I'm gonna get. So, that I think we got pretty good. Schools were, the board itself was very upset that they didn't have school today, and they were questioning assistant superintendent and stuff on why did we not take our buses today. So the roads that they come up with, which really doesn't matter the names of the roads, but they had over 6 inches of snow in them. They were almost stuck on 2 different ones. So it was explained to them what the procedure is now, and they understand it a little better. Not happy with it, but they understand it, just like us. Not happy with it, but we're not in charge of it.
Yep.
want to say thank you to the other full-time employee, Eric, we got, and also Ray, our part-time employee. They put in a lot of hours since friggin' Saturday night, and, you know, they've done a pretty good job, but everybody's getting tired of bouncing around. It'd be nice to have a full night if we can get away with it tonight, so. But, you know, as far as part-time help, you couldn't ask for better part-time help than what we got. I mean, no scheduling, no nothing, just a phone call, and he's here in 30 minutes, so it's worked out very well.
Well, I was going to go on to that. I will tell you, I was thoroughly impressed at how well our township roads looked through this event, and you guys did a phenomenal job keeping up with it. It was quite impressive. I mean, I know there were still some issues here and there, but for the amount of snow we got, our roads looked way better than the county roads, and I'm happy with that. So, and I had zero complaints.
Okay. Well, you will get some, but just noticing with the daylight today and really paying attention to different stuff, I counted, because I went through the whole township today because I was basically widening out the roads with a little 550 today because it's light enough it wasn't going to run up the side of the road. And I noticed about six mailboxes that have either fell off the post or, you know, whatever. David has got one call, and we've advised them and anybody that's watching that has a problem, we will not be able to get to any mailboxes until next week, most probably until at least Tuesday. By the time we get everything in, get it serviced and get it ready to go just in case there's something else and the temperature comes back up.
Okay.
So we didn't do too bad. And when them mailboxes come down, I bet you it was right in the middle of that blowing stuff because I never seen any of them boxes ever come off in any of them areas. But it happens, and it was a light snow. But no, I think we made out pretty good. We did get behind at one point Sunday late, and it was really hard getting caught back up. But once we did, we were able to stay up with it. And at all times, we had at least two trucks out, and we overlapped with a third truck to help us get caught back up with whatever we fell behind with the second truck. So, and I know there's something else I wanted to tell you that I was going to have repaired. Oh, yeah, that too. I would like to see if you would approve me not to exceed $9,500 to possibly purchase some salt. I got a line on some salt, and I'm just looking for the possibility of not to exceed $9,500 to buy some salt.
And that would give us roughly, what, 150 ton?
Pretty close, okay. Yes.
I mean, I know we're going to need it. It's still kind of, we could have a lot of weather.
Yeah.
I can make a motion to approve that.
I'll second. Beat you to it.
Yeah. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller, yes.
Okay, and if we do get to purchase the salt, just so they can make everybody so they're on the same page, we're still only going to salt the intersections. After the event's over, temperature comes up, as salt is available, we will start clearing the primary roads. Then as it goes on, if it's needed, we will fall into those real small secondary roads, especially if they're slick. They're slick, we will get them cleared off, but the temperature has to also cooperate. But this would give us a little bit of cushion on what I have left in my salt shed. So, and that I can remember right now, I think that's it, unless you guys got something.
I would, if we're good on the backhoes, if I know we rented the one, so if we want to get that one returned or just keep it for, we had set on a price for the month, and I know that they didn't care whether we used it for the month or by the day.
Yeah.
I would, we are going to need to have Black Swamp send us a bill.
Yes.
So we can pay it. So
I will reach out to him and let him know.
Whenever you're ready to get it turned back in,
yeah,
do that, and we'll get, and then he can invoice us so we can get him paid.
Okay.
So.
Yep. But that's basically what I can remember at this point. But no, thank you.
Anything else for Kevin?
Nope.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to keep plugging along here. All right. Old business. Stormwater report. Dave, that was you.
It's not a stormwater report. Oh. I when I filled it out to you, sent it to you, it's a stormwater coalition report.
Oh, that?
Nope, it's different than that.
Oh, that's different than that. Okay.
Stormwater Coalition, and it was a pretty good meeting, and they were talking about water quality, so I brought up Cedar Creek with a high E. coli level in it, and most of them don't realize, Bo, that dumps right into the Oregon and the Toledo intakes right there.
Yeah.
And the one lady that has the meeting is from Oregon. She just kind of looked at me, you know. So I got a little... And Sandy Spang said she understands that, and she has it on her radar. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Have fun.
Catch you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Did that tie in with Cedar Creek there, then, number two?
Or was there not really. I guess I did it earlier, but Cedar Creek, I'm working with Ottawa County. And I'm trying to get it petitioned if I can. And all we're going to try to do is get it brushed and get all them log jams. There's probably just right around the cemetery, there's probably 10 right there. And then you got to keep going. And, you know, that's the biggest problem with the creek is the log jam. So, and with cleaning it and doing the log jams, that you'll never get the money. So if we can just at least get it petitioned. And then after that, you know, maybe 10 years or something, they can try and get it cleaned. It will be petitioned then, though, so it'll be easier, you know. So that's what I got on that.
All right. Road update?
I got one in your desk, and I got one hanging up here. And if you need one, just take a copy off of there. I got it hanging up there.
Okay.
So I got that taken care of.
All right.
And Kevin said it was okay, too. I had him check it, so...
Flap grant.
Oh, let's see. Sarah called me about 2 days ago from the Lucas County Engineer's Office and asked me if I knew what was going on with it, because she wanted to put it on the books, you know, get it lined up to have it done. And I called the refuge manager, Jason Lewis, and he was supposed to get back with me yet. He was going to try and work his way up and see if we had gotten it yet or not. But it's the federal government, so you know how that goes.
Okay.
So hopefully we can find something out so we can get it on this year.
Okay. Number five, the phone system. So at the last meeting, we realized that Alex had never been set up on the phone system. He didn't even have a voicemail here. And everything was – I was getting a lot of calls that were, like, supposed to be for zoning and – you know, the cemetery, like, for some reason they're getting forward to my phone. So Evan came in, created your voicemail.
It works. I started getting calls.
So. Yep. And he's actually got some pretty good music on there for us too. But we did do away with it saved a little bit of money. We got rid of one line on there. It was the administrative line number, but yet if there's anything calls for administrative, it'll go to the email for him.
Oh, cool.
So that's there. He is actually going to present us with a new system that they install. The only downfall is that there's an upfront cost. These are just numbers, but he said, like, he was going to quote it for sure, but he's like, it's going to be like $3,500. But then, instead of paying $180 a month, we're only paying $80 a month forever. It never goes up.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So you have that initial upfront cost. And I said, we'll have to look at it, see if it makes sense. So
take a look at it.
Yeah, we'll take a look. He's supposed to get it for us. But anyway, the phones have been updated.
Sounds good.
And then number six on the water refill station. I know we talked about that at the last meeting.
Yep.
Jim Wolf had reached out to me and said, hey, would the township be interested in that, letting that be an Eagle Scout project? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much is entailed with it, what it's going to take.
I looked this up a long time ago.
Yeah.
About 2-3 years ago. And it was somebody else wanted one, too. And I found out that you almost have to have a sewer out front, because in those, they osmosis or they do something in them. I don't remember what it was, but a lot of the water is shut right out. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just not hooking your water up and filling the jug out of the water main.
Ah, so it's more extensive than that.
Yeah.
I mean, if all it was filling your jug out of the water main, I mean, that would...
Yeah.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if that doesn't but entail sewer.
But, right. But this was something that, and I just, oh, this ain't going to work because...
We don't have sewer there.
Yeah.
You can't dump it in the septic because it'll just overflow the septic system. So
I'll try and find that material. Okay. I tried to look today quick and I couldn't find it, but I'll try.
And I know you were looking into it a little bit too from the people when you talked about it. So I said, listen, I'll talk to him, see about if we want to, if he can do it as a Eagle Scout project and it works out, great. If not, then, you know, no big deal.
Well, you have to build building and everything else.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So
depends how extensive you go with it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on old business?
No.
None? All right. Let's move on to new business. 911 levy increase.
Okay. I don't know if you guys have been reading the paper or news, but they're going to put a 0.8 additional May levy on the ballot for May. And I couldn't find the other paper I got out of the Blade. I always read my little tablet at night, the Blade. But they're even talking that after even that, well, you know, we have the regular 911 levy, and this is addition to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're saying that we won't have, I wish Tony was here, but they're going to need another $750,000 every year probably after that. This isn't going to cost us anything.
Yeah.
You remember, Bob?
Well, I will tell you this. I had a nice conversation a little over a week ago with Sheriff Navarre, and he is 100% against this. He says they do not need this 0.8 levy. He goes, I have told the county commissioners that they do not need it, and they insist on putting it on.
What's it for?
For the 911 dispatching.
What else? What does it give you extra?
Man, give us nothing.
It's for them.
It's for them.
I think communications and all that I read in the Blade or something, you know. What makes Bo and I mad is when we were in here, this is going to all save us money. They had the fire chiefs and everybody on it. Oh, this is the most wonderful thing. You know, we were only paying, what, maybe $10,000 or less?
A year.
And now we're paying, what, $40 or something? And it's going to keep going up.
Yep.
And this is going to be a ballot item?
It's on the ballot.
Yeah, it's on the ballot for May. Yeah.
Mm. I don't think it's going to pass.
I hope not. Okay, number two, the Timucog Water Council. That's that, right, Alex?
Yep, we just need that filled out.
Alex, I would like to see you make more than one a year or two.
Yeah, last year I didn't get that many. But
what is
year? Well, this is the most important one compared to all the other. Stormwater isn't that relevant to what we do, except for like the project you're working on, but Water Quality Council.
Is this me?
Let's see, this would be the appointee, this would be you.
So I need to sign this one.
Yeah.
President's got to sign it.
Yeah.
All right.
That one's much more useful than the other ones, though. Also, they don't ask you. They don't sucker you into side projects.
Yeah, but you only made one last year.
Yeah.
So how do you know they're that good?
I work with all the people that go to those. So the guy next to my office, he gives me the spiel if I can't make it.
Okie doke.
We just trade off info. Actually, on one occasion, I got Team McCog to bring that event to my work, so I didn't even have to go anywhere. Back in 24. That was nice.
Yeah, I'll let you fill that out up there. You can fill in yours. All right. We just a formal thing. We did approve this at the reorg meeting to retain Summerall Henry for the attorney. We just got to sign their engagement letter.
Oh, yeah, we do that every year, don't we?
Yeah, but we just didn't sign it. So is this me? I got to sign this probably too as the board president?
Yep, that's all you.
All right, and you'll send this back?
Yep.
All right, so there's that. That's taken care of. Okay, number four, the Lucas County refusal of the Homeland Security's money.
I called all three commissioners on that because that was Jerusalem Township's money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got a call back from Pete.
Oh, did you?
Last Friday. He finally says, oh, David, I got your call. I probably called him about 5 days earlier than that. And he says, we're going to do something about it. So it was on TV tonight. It came out of the Lucas County's general fund. They wouldn't use the, and I didn't totally disagree with him on the ICE thing. So I goes, but you know, that's our money. You know, we deserve that. And all of them called me back tonight. Lopez called me back and said that they had voted for it this morning to get it done.
Yeah, they had called me on that.
Yeah, so we have the money.
Lopez, but this is when you, when politics get too involved, but in my opinion, Pete Gerken's a freaking domestic terrorist for Lucas County.
There's nothing you can do about it because he'll never get voted out until he retires. So
nope, but you turned down $70,000 of grant money that you've received for 20 years.
Yep.
Just because of your political views, and then now you're going to take it out of the coffers, your general fund.
You hurt the county.
You hurt the county, and it's all because of a political stunt. So
that's why.
Is this money, as it was previously indicated, or what I understood, I don't know if it's indicated, for Marine Patrol or Highway Patrol? I understood.
The sheriff could use it any way he wanted to.
I understand it was for Homeland Security because we have a border with Canada.
Correct.
That's how we got it.
Okay.
That's how we got it.
It doesn't matter. Lisa's coming back.
It was about patrolling this area because of the lakeshore.
Yes, yeah. Because of the border with Canada. So how do we know that we don't get sheriff's patrol? We have sometimes and sometimes. So how do we know if we receive it?
That's up to
Navarre, and I had a long conversation with him regarding this, and this is going to help pay for the overtime for it. He says we're not going to see any decrease in any services we're getting from them that we're currently getting, and, which isn't much. But when there's five guys on, there's always one out here. So he said that, I guarantee you that. He goes, when we have five working, there's always one in Jerusalem Township. So
that's his biggest problem, the way it is, I think, is manpower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's what happens. Again, like I said, you were refusing to take money from the federal government because we want to play a political stunt. So, all right. With that over, the draft hall policy. So you guys got this in front of you here. I know we had a conversation over this.
We've already encountered issues with this, which is why we need to reinforce this.
And we've never really had a policy other than what was stated. So,
yep.
Again, these are the hall usage guidelines for current retired members. This is just a draft. We can adjust this as we want. Number one, you know, like we've always said, they get one free hall rental per year. We will not waive the cleaning fee if it is required, which is understandable. Eligible members are current township employees, fire department members, zoning board members, maintenance department, township trustees, and a fiscal officer. Number three is all living retired members. They must schedule the hall. So what we run into is, well, my grandpa was a fireman, and I need it for my cousin's son's birthday. Well, here grandpa's been dead for 15 years. Well, we can't extend this on forever. So, and then the only number four, I felt that this one was very important, that any spouse of a line of duty death will be granted that privilege until their death. We've only ever had two line of duty deaths. One was John Kennedy, and his family has all passed away. And the most recent one was Dan Wilson, which was a line of duty death for us on the fire department here probably about 10 years ago. And I know his wife is still, you know, she probably rents it every couple years once, you know, like she'll use it for something.
Yeah, usually got it every year.
It hasn't been that much, but those were just some guidelines. But I do think that it needs to be from a current, or, you know, they got to be living.
Yeah.
I think is a fair.
It is getting quite a fire. Odie Gillette has been dead for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong because he's on the picture in there, you know, he helped build this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. At some point.
Yeah. Stop somewhere.
Yeah. Right. So if you guys are good with this, this will be kind of our policy. I'll leave this for Joel.
Yep.
So he can put that in. And I don't want to get too stringent on it, but I want to like cover the bases. So, yeah. All right. So that's done.
So is that your motion?
Yeah, that's my motion. If you guys don't see any changes on that right now, yeah. I mean, if you guys are good with them, I say.
I so move.
Okay. Roll call, Alex Litton?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Yes. Motion passes. So I will give that to Joel.
The last thing I have for new business is we have to approve the Oregon rec fees for the 2025 for the total of $19,320. That's my motion.
I'll second.
All right, roll call. Bo Miller, yes. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Betch.
Yes.
Motion carries. Upcoming events. We got the Lucas County Dinner February 12th. The District Integrated Committee meetings February 12th. And then we have our engineers meeting March 4th from 10 to 11.
Now, is that at 10 or is it earlier?
No, 10 to 11.
Yeah, the email.
I was just thinking of last year. I thought it.
They rotate us.
They rotate us. You never know when it's going to
okay.
be.
Okay.
We never get it at the same time or on the same day.
Very seldom.
So if we don't have anything else on there, don't we have any public participation?
Thank you for what you guys do.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Pretty empty house today. If you have any other questions on the grant project, feel free to follow up with me because it's been a project.
All right.
You may not see it on the outside, but there is tons of paperwork that came along with that grant project. Joel was right because Joel warned me and I didn't listen to him how much work it was going to be, and there's so much paperwork and reporting and meetings. Oh my god, the meetings that went along with that just to see if it's not even to have money in hand, just to see if it's possible and what it's going to cost. There's no Facebook comments to follow up on, so.
Looking for a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
I so move.
I'll second.
Roll call, Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Betch.
Yes.
Bo Miller, yes. Meeting adjourned.
8:20.
Can you hit the wall, Dave?